Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Help Club for Moms podcast. My name is Deb, and I'm super excited to be here with you guys today. I'm here with my amazing friends, Virginia and Linda, and we are going to talk to you guys today about overcoming fear and anxiety. And I'm telling you guys, I have two amazing women here to talk about this topic that know what it's like. They have walked this road and they have so much wisdom to share. And so I'm really, really excited for you guys to just listen in on our conversation. We were talking earlier that we wish you guys were here. Like, we wish you were here having tea with us. We're all having a cup of tea. We wish you were here. I wish that we could all be together all the time. And so maybe grab a cup of tea and sit with us and let's be together. And email us any comments that you have about today's podcast at admin@helpclubformoms.com. And we would love to hear from you what you think about fear and anxiety. But I want to introduce my friends. I want to introduce, first of all, Virginia Euler, and she is amazing. And she was a missionary in Tibet.
Nepal.
I always say Tibet. Nepal.
They're close.
But I am so excited that you guys get to hear from her because you had toddlers when you were over there in Nepal. How old were your children?
We went when they were 6 months. 2 and 4 is what we left.
6 months, 2 and 4 year old in Nepal.
Yes. And I'd never been. My husband had made a trip over there twice. So he had spent 2 weeks over a 3 year period over there. And we really felt God said that this is something he had for us to do. And it was a huge step of faith. It was a challenge, but we did it. And so we loaded up with 3 suitcases and 5 of us, and we headed to Nepal. And I had never been there. My kids had never been out of the country. And so it was a huge step, but it was worth it. And I'm so glad that we did it. And I'm so glad that we had that experience, but more than anything, that we got to encounter God in a new way that we wouldn't have had we stayed where we were.
I love that. And then my other friend is Linda. And you guys know Linda. She's done several podcasts with us. And Linda has walked through, I would say, the valley of the shadow of death that her husband, how long ago? 2 years and a half?
Two and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm. 2.5 years. And she, her husband had what they were calling an inoperable brain tumor that is in the most.
Well, it was. It still was inoperable.
Yeah.
Still is. But they were speaking death over him. They were
speaking
saying
death.
It was the worst kind of brain cancer you could possibly have. They were giving him, you know, time frames to live that were really short. It was something that you never dream of, something that you never think will happen to you. And it felt like the rug just got pulled out from underneath us. So it was a complete surprise. But in it, we met God. And so we would not trade it for anything. We've talked about it, and he's still not completely out of the woods, but he is mostly out of the woods because
Praise
our God.
God
said life. From the beginning, he said life. And so we got that promise. Thank you, Lord, to stand on through our whole journey. And because of that, we know him in a whole new way. We know his goodness. We know his love. We know
and
him
you've
personally.
Changed. You're a completely different person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, I remember you telling me, I remember having these conversations with you when they would say all these things that are going to happen from this surgery and him being in a wheelchair and not being able to have full mobility. And I just can't even imagine what you went through and watching you go through with faith and watching you look for that rhema word from God every day. That was always a big deal to you, Linda, that word, that day by day word from God for you. And you sustained yourself on the rhema word from God, and you just kept going and kept praying and kept, you were all over the place, you know, getting prayer. And I'm just so proud of the way that you guys went through that. And so I'm really thankful to have you here.
Thank you.
So guys, let's just start the conversation. The word says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You have it on your t-shirt right there, Linda. I wish you guys could see it. But of power and love and a sound mind.
Yep.
That's an amazing scripture. Go. You guys have so much to say about this.
You know, we were talking about fear before we started recording this, and it's amazing how fear really can sneak into so many ways of our lives. And I think you can look at the world, and it's easy to go, oh, yeah, there's fear everywhere. But we miss the subtle ways that fear actually affects our daily lives, our interactions with our children, our interaction with our husband, our jobs, our daily activities. And, you know, it's easy to get caught up with this is how life is and this is going on and not realize that many times fear is actually, it's manipulating our thoughts with worry and anxiety, and it's directing our activities or our actions or our responses to people because of that worry and anxiety over my children's decisions or my husband's response or, you know, the groceries or the bills, and how it's those simple little daily things that fear actually can really get a hold of our lives and affect us in bigger ways than we can imagine.
You know what? I love that you brought that up. So it was funny. Linda and I both sat down and we had said the same statement. I can't believe that happened because it's not a scripture. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it goes along with what you're talking about with fear with our families and like what I want you to explain about with your son too. But it's fear masquerades as wisdom. Fear masquerades as wisdom. Okay, so I have a confession for you, Linda. I remember this. I remember whenever COVID first started.
Yeah.
And I was afraid. Just laying it out there. I was afraid. I was afraid. I was watching the news. I was afraid.
Yeah.
And I remember when Mike had to go in and get radiation. Mm-hmm. And he had to go to the hospital every day. And back then, they're like, don't go to the hospital. Stay away from the hospital. Yeah. And I remember telling you, oh, Linda, I'm so afraid for Mike going to the hospital. That is fear masquerading as wisdom.
Right.
Maybe. I don't even think it sounds like wisdom now that, you know.
Right.
But it's like, I'm so glad you didn't listen to people, because you said this. A few people were like, oh no, he has to go to the hospital to get his radiation. That's an example of fear masquerading as wisdom.
Right.
Like, what else do you guys think? I just think we have to be careful of that. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So tell me about your son.
So my oldest son is a great kid. He's a great kid. He is obedient. He's kind. And you know, he's always said, I'm never going to date till college. And then this summer it was, maybe my senior year, you know, I'll have a girlfriend. Well, the second week of school this year, and he's not close to being a senior, he has a girlfriend. And so everything in me goes into panic mode of, oh my gosh, he has a girlfriend. Okay, that's fine if it's just at school. But he's older. He wants to go hang out with her. He wants to do activities with her. And so everything in me is panicking because I know what I was like as a teenager, and I wasn't always a great example of Christ as a teenager. And so immediately I just kind of get into that fear of, what if my son, who's a great kid, gets tempted and makes a bad decision? What is that going to play out in his future? The challenges, the difficulties, how is that going to reflect on us as Christian parents, missionaries, and oh, your child makes a poor decision. You know, all those, that fear comes up. And I really found that what I started to do, instead of just loving my son and encouraging him and, you know, walking with him to train him what is appropriate, I started trying to almost nitpick and control and be critical of all of his decisions and his opportunities that he wanted to go hang out with his friends. Well, who is every single person who's going to be there? Where are you going to go? Are there any parents? Not because I'm loving and kind and I care, but because I'm in fear. And so I'm starting to become very critical of him and his decisions. And I found that we were just starting to get into these just unkind conversations. And it wasn't like our normal relationship. And he is a good kid. And I realized that I was really being overcome with fear for my son. And I had to stop and I had to go to God and just say, God, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I mean, he's a good kid. I shouldn't be, but I'm concerned because I know my past. I know what the world is like out there. And I'm concerned that my son will not stay in the path that I want him to and that he's going to be tempted. And, you know, that fear was coming in and it was taking over my thoughts, you know, with worry and anxiety. And it was actually manipulating my actions and the way I was able to or not able to love my son. And so instead of walking in a loving way to have honest conversations and to be able to walk in a way that I'm training and developing him and having appropriate relationships, I'm now arguing and butting heads and being critical, and I'm pushing him away rather than drawing him close with my love. And so I've really had to stop and go back to the word and say, you know, Lord, you said that you who have begun a good work in us will carry it through to completion. And you have said these great things over my son, and he is a good son, and he knows you, and he hears your voice. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're with him, that you will convict him of sin and righteousness. I pray protection over the snares of the enemy, and I thank you that you will watch over him, mm-hmm. and that I can trust you with my son, because the truth was, is I wasn't trusting God to fulfill my son's purpose for his life and the call on his life. I was trying to take it back into my control, and by doing that, I was actually hurting our relationship.
And you were probably thinking you were being a wise mom.
I was.
By being more careful.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm being
and
very
critical.
And it's
the opposite.
Yes.
It's the opposite, because in those teen years, we should be able to release control. Mm-hmm. That's wisdom. That's real wisdom. But the world's wisdom, we were talking about this, how much fear that the world tells us that sounds like wisdom.
Right? Like how much parenting advice is actually based in fear?
Yeah. Right?
And it's not real wisdom that comes from God.
Like, do you have an example?
My kids are younger. So there's different things. Like sometimes I think, oh my gosh, you know, my kids used to be in Awana. We took them out because we're too busy. We're doing other things that God has for us. And then every once in a while I'll go, oh my gosh, should they be in there? Should they be learning more scripture? And then I evaluate where that's coming from. That's coming from a place of fear, right? It's not, God hasn't told us to go do that, you know? And so, when you're parenting, you know, and if we sign up for that, it's going to add all sorts of stress and load onto my life. And it's not going to be good because it's not what God told us to do.
Right. And that is the thing. I think as parents, we need to be talking about this all the time in Help Club and as leaders. We need to be pointing each other to Jesus Christ instead of to each other. Look what I'm doing. Look what my kids are doing. And so like Awana, though, for some people, it's like, oh.
It's their thing. Yeah.
It's such a gift. Like we did Awana for a little while. We did Cubbies. It was really fun. But that one point that you just said, it wasn't what God told us to do.
Right.
And so the wisdom from heaven that we need is that daily word from the Lord and you asking him. And I know you could talk about this till the cows come home.
No, I know.
But that is true wisdom. Right. So tell us about like if someone is going through something, how could they practically, like how did you practically seek God's wisdom, you know, to where you weren't afraid of things?
So we were talking about this right before we got on. And the really key thing for me was knowing God, mm-hmm. just knowing him, like knowing who he actually is. And like, we can all tell you right now who God is. And the Bible, it's all over the Bible. But for you to really believe it, you personally have to encounter him. You have mm-hmm. to encounter his goodness. You have to know him. You have to have an intimacy with him. And you have to sit before him and put that time in and listen to his heart. Ask him questions.
Like,
listen
what would be a question?
Answers.
Like, you've got so many good questions. And we have it in the Help Club for Moms companion guide that goes with that book. We have a whole thing. And I think you actually, if they Google it on our website, what was that? It's called Have a Talk with God. And you get, that's what it's called. Have a Talk with God. You could Google it at helpclubformoms.com. But just give them a couple of examples of how you talk to God so that they can know how to get that word from him on any circumstance instead of being afraid.
Okay, so for a specific circumstance, you could even sit with him and you can ask him, God, what do you want the outcome of this circumstance to be? What do you have to say about this? To just on a general basis, you can ask him, God, how do you see me? Or what do you even have for me today? That's probably what I ask of him like 90% of the time. I just sit before him and go, what do you have for me today? Or if I'm going to an event, what do you have for me at this event? And you just get to hear his voice and you can ask him questions about other people as well. Like if you're praying for someone, what do you have to say about Virginia? And when you hear his tone and what he says, you begin to know him. And no amount of someone else telling you about God is going to be the same as you meeting God and meeting him on a regular basis.
And tuning in. So when we say hearing from God, we're not saying we're just like it's me and you and Virginia talking. It's a knowing inside of your spirit. It's inside the Holy Spirit part of you, you know, the Holy Spirit part of it, you know, it's your, that's a whole other conversation, but it's that inner man that hears from God. And tuning in and asking God to even help you hear that voice is huge.
Right.
Yeah. So even asking, say, God, teach me how to hear you.
Yes. And I think so many people, you hear people say, well, I heard God say this and I heard God say that. And you're expecting, well, they must have had this audible voice.
Right.
Well, and I think that's just, you assume, I guess they get these audible voices. And that's not necessarily how God speaks to us. Now, he can speak with an audible voice, but it's usually it's that gentle nudge of the heart. Mm-hmm. It's just that thought that you're like, oh, where did that thought come from? That's not my thought. Like I hadn't even been on that train in that direction, but it's that sudden knowing in your heart or that just impression on your heart. But God will always speak through peace and love, and he won't condemn us. Even when he brings correction, he doesn't do it in a way that condemns us. So if you're feeling condemnation or rejection, that's not God. That is not God at all, because God will never speak to us that way. God is love. So he loves us, and he will always speak to us in a way that will bring his love in, even when he brings correction. And so it's important that we take the time to know God, because we can't put trust in a person that we don't actually know. Yeah. Like, how do I trust Linda's going to come through with what she said she'd do unless I've actually gotten to know Linda and I know her character and I know her integrity. And I know that, yes, if Linda says this, Linda's going to do this. So I can rest assured that it'll be taken care of. It might not be the way I would do it because Linda is Linda, but she said she'd do it. And I've known her and I know who she
that's
is and
so
her
good.
Character. So I can trust that she's going to take care of
that's,
what she said she'd take care of.
That's so good. Yeah. Okay. So Linda, you were saying earlier, fear is a sin. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we just let that sink in for a second? How many of us hear like the Ten Commandments and we're like, okay, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this because we want to please God.
Right.
But then fear is a sin. Can you explain that, like your journey with understanding that?
Yeah, absolutely. So early on in our journey, after we found out about Mike's tumor, I was sitting there reading a book about just the spiritual roots of disease, because there are a lot of diseases that are rooted in spiritual things like bitterness and unforgiveness and fear. And so I kept coming across fear and I was like, oh, I know, you know, unforgiveness is a sin and bitterness, but fear? And the guy in the book said, yeah, you know, fear, like he says, do not fear, like 365 times, right, in the Bible, more than he says, do not murder. Mm-hmm. And anytime you say do not, what comes after it is something that is not of God, right?
Mm.
And what's not of God is sin. And so I was like, oh my goodness, I have been living in sin and living in all sorts of fear. And I mean, I didn't have any kind of like wild, crazy fears. They were just normal fears, which, you know, we even talk about amongst ourselves. Oh, I have a fear of public speaking. Oh, I have a fear of, you know, whatever. What's your greatest fear? And we make it sound like it's okay. It's not okay. Like it is arguably one of the greatest sins, I think, because when you're in fear, you're not in faith.
Right. You're it's the opposite of faith.
Yes. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I don't want to be living in that space. And I had been living in a cage of fear. And I realized I had so many fears. I mean, and they were fears like fear of the future, fear of rejection, fear of what people think of me, fear of man, fear of failure. And as I realized this, I thought, oh my gosh, God, I need to repent. So I repented of them. I listed all of them out. And then just like you said, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, we have not been given a spirit of fear. And I thought, well, if it's a spirit, I can cast it out. I have that authority, right? And so in Jesus' name, I cast out each and every single one of them. And I had my eyes closed and I saw things leaving. And then I felt this heavy blanket of God's peace and presence. And I was like, oh, I just did a thing. I know it. And I mean, that presence lasted with me for a couple hours, that tangible feeling of his presence. And
God did it. God worked.
And for me, that just, I mean, that
was a huge change. I can tell. Like,
yeah.
like just since that time, you're a lot more secure
and free.
And free. That would be the word. When God cast out those fears in you,
right,
and showed you that He is there,
right,
that He is good, yes, and you are free.
Yeah. And so it was both. It was knowing God first and foremost, and then taking that step and getting rid of the fear and choosing not to go back there, because those thoughts will come back up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And the circumstance might change just a little bit, like, okay, I know things with health now. I'm not afraid. But then something will come up, you know, I don't know, like a job thing. Oh my gosh. And then you get in fear again. And then God, Holy Spirit reminds you, hey, remember our journey? Oh, I'm sorry. And then you repent, which just means you turn from it. You turn back to Him. And yeah, you change your mindset, because we are not slaves to fear, right? We've been set free. And Galatians 5:1, I think, says, do not then place yourself back under that yoke of slavery to fear. So that's my story.
Well, and I think just taking the time to look at the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So fear is not from God. Fear is from the devil. And the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. And it says that God gives us power, and that's a supernatural ability to overcome that which is trying to overcome us.
And you know, power is a spirit. It's a spirit of power.
Spirit of power.
It's one of the seven facets,
of the
seven spirits of God, but it's one of the facets of the Holy Spirit.
Ooh, that's good.
Is the spirit of power.
So He gives us a spirit of
power.
He gives us a spirit of love.
Love.
And that's our ability to
power and love
connect
and sound
to God.
Mind.
Sound mind. So our love to connect to God and to be able to connect with others in sound mind. So it's one translation is self-control, but it's that peace of mind without that worry, the anxiety, the constant turning back and forth of what if, I don't know, what if, let me check this. And, you know, and that's what fear comes to do. It comes to rob us of that spirit of power. And it paralyzes us so that we can't act and we can't move forward in what God wants for us. And it comes and it tries to tell us that God does not love us enough to come through for us. So it wants to steal God's love from our heart. Now, God always loves us. Nothing will separate us from His love. But it tries to lie to us to believe that, you know what, God might not love you enough, or God isn't loving enough to come through in this. And so it wants us to push away from God in fear rather than drawing close to Him in
okay.
love.
I want to talk about that that right there, what you just said. It's really good because I want to bring something up. But Linda, okay, so we're real moms, right? And Linda has to go pick up her kids at school. And so give
yes.
me just your last closing remark on, I think we're going to do another one of these fear broadcasts. Give me your closing remark, and then we're going to go back into me and Virginia with a couple of examples.
Yeah. The verse that just comes to mind is perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
So you guys abide in Him. That's my biggest tip. And if you don't know Him the way that you should know Him, if you cannot be convinced that He's good and that He loves you and that He works all things together for your good, get to know Him.
Get to know Him. Praise yeah. God. Thank you.
Right. I love you guys.
Okay. We'll be back. Linda will be back. Okay. So Virginia, you just said something that really resonated with me, and I wanted to say something, and we just have a couple more minutes. But so I remember being a young mom, and I was so afraid because I would look at people that their kids, when they were grown, they didn't love God and they weren't close to their family, or they were just, you know, really rebellious. And I would think, how on earth can I have a Christian home? How can I possibly do it because of my upbringing? And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But you know what that does is what you just said. When we put our eyes on, maybe we think, well, God didn't come through for them, or God didn't change that situation in someone's life, or God didn't heal that person, they died. But guys, we don't know what God has for us. And we have to keep standing firm, right? We have to stand firm till the end. Till the end of the situation, till the end, we have to stand firm. And we can't look around at what has happened to other people, right? We can't look around at I don't understand things like, I know we don't have time to go into it, but you were saying something really profound earlier, Virginia, that you were praying for something and God was like, that's not what I want to do in this situation. And so we don't know God's will for other people. But we do know that we can follow him, and as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And so maybe so-and-so's kids grew up and they didn't believe in God. Or maybe so-and-so's kids, like what you and I think about, like because both of us made mistakes as teenagers. And so I remember feeling this way with my kids. Oh my gosh, what if they do my mistakes? But no, we have to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We will trust that God is working in our children's lives. We'll trust that, just like you said, he who began a good work will finish it, and that it will calm us. And like you were saying about love, and Linda was saying, perfect love casts out fear. So let's give an example. If you are like me, so say you look around at the storm. Like right now, you're parenting kids in a messed up world, right? It's pretty scary right now for parents. And you could be tempted, like Peter when he was walking on water, to look around at the wind and the waves and get scared like you're going to drown. And it's not going to work. Your faith isn't going to work. Your kids aren't going to be different from the world. They're going to grow up and be like everybody else. No, 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 no. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just like Linda said, we will abide. And I want you to talk about what the change, the shift has been with your son. Now that you understand what you were doing, how are you applying that knowledge from God in with your son and not being afraid?
Well, I think more than anything, it's just instead of approaching every conversation with this is what he needs to do because this is the right thing to do, this is the wise thing to do, it's more of, okay, what would you like to do? Why would you like to do that? Okay, when you're in this situation, what would be some good things to do? What if this comes up? How would you like to respond? And really just asking him questions, because the truth is he's never been down this road. So he's like, I don't know. He's a boy. He's not thinking. He just wants to go out and have fun, right? Yeah. And he's not thinking of all the other things that might happen. And so to simply say, have you considered that this might happen? A funny thing, he's texting this girl that he likes, and he's saying, dude, and we're laughing, and we're as parents going, hey, listen, the appropriate way to talk to a girl is not to call her dude. So, you know, he doesn't know. He's a teenager, right? Like, yeah. Dude, I talk to my friends, dude. No, this is how you would appropriately talk to her. When you go out, this is appropriate boundaries. How would you feel her parents would view you if you didn't maintain these boundaries? But I'm not telling you to do all these things. I just want to have a conversation. And I love you, and reaffirming, I know that you're smart, I know that you're wise, and I know that you want to honor God, and I trust that you will make those decisions. And so I think when, you know, he's come to us and I've got plans this weekend, we're going to go do this and that and this and that, and part of me is like, oh, but you're not doing it with me. So that's a little bit heartbreaking, but then going, okay, rather than me getting upset that you've made all these plans and this girl will be there for most of those plans, let me talk about what fun are you going to have. Let me engage in this conversation so you can come back and talk to me about the fun you had and that you're focused on different things rather than worldly things. And just, I think, trying to love him where he's at and understand that we all make mistakes. That's part of maturing, and giving my son grace to make mistakes. Now, I pray that he makes simple mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I pray because I know that God's faithful to watch over us and to take care of us and to convict us of sin and righteousness. And so I pray over him, you know, before he goes out, I pray over him while he's out. And if I feel led to do something while he's gone, I'll pray whatever I feel is on my heart. But to be able to send him out in love, hey, have a great time. Go have fun. Be the leader in the group. And when he comes back, tell me about your night. What fun thing did you do? What mm-hmm. was the most exciting thing? What did you guys talk about? And trying to engage and just, it's okay to like people. I want you. You're going to like people. This is normal.
It is normal.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's God's plan.
It's God's plan. So rather than me being in fear and trying to control every detail of this relationship.
Which seems wise.
Yep. Which seems wise because I don't want him to be put in this difficult situation. Can I walk with him in love? So if he finds himself in that difficult situation, he's not afraid to come to me and tell me about it.
Yeah.
Because that would be heartbreaking if I had tried to control the situation so much to make sure he didn't make a mistake that if he did, he didn't feel he could come and talk to me. And can I love him when he makes mistakes? and trusting that God will lead him and protect him. But he's a teenage boy, and I'm not talking about like sexual things. He's going to make mistakes in life because we all do. And he's a teenage boy, and he might say something and I go, that probably wasn't appropriate to say in that conversation. But if I am treating him in fear and trying to always tell him what to do and control the situation, and then he's never going to share those things with me, and we can't learn together and train him up in a way to go. Well, if he doesn't show me what's going on or tell me, I can't train him how to open the door appropriately, how to have conversations when you disagree on something, how to text the girl appropriately. Simple things that are so simple and funny. But if I am in fear, he's going to hide everything from me.
He is.
And if I can just love him where he's at, then at least we can have conversations and I can help guide him through the decisions that he's making and help him to see, is that a wise choice? What might be the consequences? Is this a good choice? Oh, well, look at what would happen if you do that. Good things will happen, mm-hmm. you know, and just being able to have conversations because we're coming at it in love and not in fear.
Exactly. And I think just to close, I found the principle at work with my kids because we did that. I started out in fear, realized what I was doing. God wouldn't even let me go there. Like, it's like when you get into fear, you know you're messing up. And nothing works.
No, nothing.
Nothing works. Nothing seems like it's working right. Nothing that you do for your child or to connect, nothing's working. And then God's like, stop it. Mm-hmm. And then you stop it and you're like, oh, wait, I get it now. I'm supposed to be that perfect love that casts out fear, that safe place. And I'll tell you, with our children, the big blessing of parenting like that, because my daughter's, she's 28 now, and she's a mom of two girls. And my son is 25. And for to be that person that they come to, because we went and let them be honest with us, and we didn't just like ground them, yell at them, whatever, if they were honest, if they made a mistake or whatever, just to be that safe person that they can talk to and get sound wisdom, I will tell you, it's beautiful to see their faith, my kids. And all of us make mistakes. My kids have made mistakes. But do you know what's beautiful is that God, I think, showed Randy and I how to teach them that you can always come back to God and that there's never anything that would separate you from his love. And so they've never strayed away from him, ever. And, you know, we've had conversations when they were teenagers like, Mom, I don't see what's wrong with getting drunk. Mom, I don't see what's wrong with living together. I don't see what's wrong with sex before marriage. Like, you know, all those conversations that you're like, whoa, those are some crazy conversations. And who are you? You're not my kid. That's not what we've been talking about. But they just want, they hear it other places and they want to hear what you have to say about it. And so I think not hitting the ceiling, right? Yeah. Not blowing up, not getting into fear, and just answering their questions and just saying, that's a good question. And you know, I could see how you would think that or whatever. And then being that safe space and letting them come to you and tell you what they're going through is really beautiful. And then you watch them, like with my kids being grownups, and my son has gone through a little thing he calls like a deconstruction thing of his faith. And I've been watching it, and some things he said along the way were like, oh, okay, I don't know how I feel about that one, but hey, you're learning, you're growing. But watching him go through it and now seeing how he comes out, and you know what he's coming back to? Like, he's never gone away from the Lord. Like, Jack is the kid that would be throwing up in the bathroom, okay? He used to have MSG allergies really bad, and we would go places every Sunday, and he would eat food that would cause him to throw up every Sunday afternoon. But what he has done every time he throws up is he says, oh, God, help me. Oh, help me. He calls out to God. He has never changed. And so all through his deconstruction, that, you know, light deconstruction or whatever of his faith, he still calls out to God. And you know what he comes back to right now? It's really sweet. He comes back to, you know what? I just want to rest in Jesus. That's what he says now. I just want to rest in Jesus because he's been hurt by the church. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be close to him. And I just want to rest in him. And so anyway, you're doing everything right. Like, you're learning from God, from him pointing out that you were being in fear. And so my friend here listening to this podcast, just listen to what God's telling you.
Well, and I think too, because I know we got to go, is just, you know, I went to my son and I told him that. I said, you know, this really threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting this because you always said you were going to wait till college. And then suddenly it's like, well, we're not close to college and you want to date. And I don't want to just be so strict that you push away from mm-hmm. me. So I want to do this, you know, in a good way. But I had to tell him, I said, it really threw me and your father for a loop. And I said, and I've been a bit fearful because I want you to make wise choices and I don't want the world to overcome you. And I said, I had to apologize. And I said, I'm sorry. I've been really critical and I've been harsh towards you and my interactions. And it's because I've been afraid. And I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I love you and I really want you to know I love you and I do trust you and I want to be here. And so just being able to acknowledge that to him so he understood why. Like, why is mom being
crazy?
Crazy. Like, what is wrong with mom? And to be able to say that and be like, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm an adult and I'm a believer and I'm still struggling. But I want you to know I'm sorry I was wrong and I should not have been responding to you that way. And just, you know, to kind of help bring down the craziness in our dialect. And it softened his heart too, you know, where it's like, okay.
Mom is real.
Mom's real. And I just, you know, I remind him, I'm like, you're my oldest. I haven't had to walk through this yet. And so these are new things for me. And I'm learning how to navigate them, to trust God in them, and to be a good mom in them. And,
I love that.
You know, so forgive me, help me.
And I think that apologies are so good.
Yeah.
I think that being humble, do you know my number one verse when my kids were teenagers? Be completely humble and gentle.
Okay.
That was my number. Oh, in case I didn't tell you, be completely humble and gentle. That was God. Oh, wait, here. Oh, yeah, Deb, wait, no. Be completely humble and gentle.
Yeah.
And I have apologized so many times to my children. But do you know what that teaches them is humility.
Yeah.
And that's so good that you did that. Well, why don't we pray for our friend? And I'll start and then you finish this up. Father, I thank you so much for my godly friends. I thank you for Virginia and Linda and my friend listening today. And Lord, there's so much that we could say about this. And I really feel like we need to have another gathering here on the podcast to talk about it. But Lord, you know what my friend is going through who's listening to this podcast. You know what they're going through. And Father, I pray that you would speak to their heart. Holy Spirit, speak deeply into their heart about what's going on. They may not even know why they're struggling with anxiety or fear. Tell them, help them to have ears to hear and a heart and a mind to understand. God, help them to hear you when you're talking and to turn their hearts to you and to let you hold them. There's so much right now that feels so, just feels scary right now in our world. But Lord, let my friend know that you're holding her. And I pray a blessing over her life with her family. I pray that she will walk by faith, that she will know that you are good and that you have so many good things in store for her, that you will give her, like Linda got from you, that daily word, that daily rhema word, that she would learn how to hear your voice, that she would spend time with you. And God, that she would know how good that you are. That's a theme of today's mm-hmm. show, is that you're good, in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I just pray for every friend and woman who is listening. And Lord, I pray that your goodness would rest on them, that your goodness would fill their hearts and their minds, and that, Lord, they would be reminded that you know the plans that you have for them to prosper them, not to harm them, to give them a hope and a good future. And Lord, your desire is good for them, that you are not against them. You are not angry at them. You are not opposing them. You are not upset for them being imperfect, because we are all imperfect and you came for us in our imperfection. And Lord, I pray that you would remind every woman that you love them and that you are good and that you are faithful and that you would fill the broken parts of their hearts where there's been disappointment, where there has been uncertainty. And Lord, that you would come with a new word and a new truth, and that you would bring just new voices that speak love and life into their hearts and into their minds and into their situations, that they would be able to see you and not just see what's going on in the world or in the chaos, but Lord, that they would see you and where you are in the mix of it. And I thank you for each woman, and I thank you that you are doing mighty things in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.